Three, two, one. What the fuck is up, everybody? I don't know why I'm giving you a thumbs up, but you're getting one. I'm one half of your favorite fat duo, or trailer park duo, if you will. That's me, Tony, with my other half, Austin. I said trailer, and he started drinking tea, like, right on the spot.
Hey. It's like a secret sleeper agent code.
That's how you do it, man. Fucking, how you been?
Good. Someone hacked my, skimmed my card and stole every dollar I had in my bank account.
Oh, shit. Before we get into how terrible that is, welcome to the Great Girth Podcast, everybody. I realized I butchered our introduction. It's just like, hey, it's your boy, Skinny Penis.
Skinny Penis.
But anyway, so let's hear this. Let's hear this brutality.
Yeah, so I was at work, and I got a notification that my phone bill was like, oh, your card got declined. I'm like, no. No, it didn't. It should. Yeah. There should be like $1,300, $1,400 in that bank account. I go, my bank account is -$600.
-$600? I'd have been pissed.
I'm like, hold on a minute. What went through? And I'm like, oh, someone spent $1,200 at King Supers. You know, I'm like, when did this happen? An hour ago. I've been at work the whole time. So I call my bank. My bank goes, yeah, that's definitely fraud. Someone skimmed your card. So we'll put.
Would you like us to take the shot, sir? Anyway.
Then they're like, do you know who did this? I was like, no, if I knew who did this, I wouldn't have called you.
I love that question. Do you know who did this?
And then they're like, okay, well, give us a couple days. We'll submit this as fraud, and then you'll get your money back. So now I'm just waiting to get my money back.
That still fucking blows, though, dude. I'm sorry you had to go through that. I think I told you about this, man. Back in, like, 2017, maybe? 2016? My fucking identity was stolen. I was part of this breach that Credit Karma had or whatever. Yeah, dude, it was like a big fucking, like, it was so big that it was one of their biggest lawsuits ever they had to face. But basically, my identity was stolen. And they were like, here's what you can do to fix it. Nothing. You can pay attention and watch your life fall apart. That's what I got out of it. They were like, these are all the steps you can take to protect your identity. And I was like, so what you're saying is we're sorry, are bad. Now, there's some free tools to help you utilize that. And while you're at it, please buy our VPN, only $10 a month. Like, just yeah. All this crazy shit that I was like, so I'm fucked. Like, there's no other way around it. I'm just fucked. And they're like, yeah. You know, like, in a weird roundabout way, yeah. So, I've been there. I had someone try to take out a loan on a house on my fucking name, dude.
Man.
Thank God the bank called me. And I was like, yeah, no, homie. You guys have access to my bank records. When have you ever seen me even own enough of a fucking down payment for a house?
Right.
Like, have you ever seen more than $5,000 in my bank account? Once. Tax time. And that was like 10 years ago, dude. I'm like, dude, I'm always broke. So I don't even know why I'm bringing this up. I think it's just more that I'm like, bro, it's fucked up that they can do that to you, that they're not responsible for you. You remember back in the old days too, dude. I guess it applies now. If the markets crash, you're fucked. So get a credit union. That's what everyone's always telling me. Get a credit union. I'm like, right. I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it because I want to support safety and the little man more than I do the big man. Oh, dude, fucking, I couldn't wait to talk about this on the show, dude. And this might have actually happened the other day, and I fucking totally forgot to, like, bring it up. But our boy Steve, with We Are The Mess podcast, nabbed an interview with Joe Exotic, bro. And
oh, no.
That's huge, though, man. I was like,
oh, yeah.
What? Yeah, dude, I saw that shit, and I reached out to him. I was like, bro, I'm fucking jealous. Like, how'd you fucking manage that? And he was like, oh, they reached out to me. It's a, oh, I'm not going to air his shit on fucking blast, but basically, good job, Steve. Steve Jeezy. That was a good fucking interview. Oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah, I was like, bro, that's fucking legit, because I really don't want to bring this up because I'm going to get accused of like clickbait and shit like that, or people are going to try to go back on me about this. I'm fucking, I'm going to do it anyway, because it's probably never going to happen. That's why I'm doing this. So weeks ago, in one of our last, like, well, I guess maybe even our more recent episode, I brought up the fact that I was reading that book, Chaos by Tom O'Neill. Well, anyway, I found his Instagram and shit like that, and, like, I found his email and all that, so I figured shot in the fucking dark, dude. So I asked him, like, hey, you know, big fan of your book. What is the possibility of you coming on my show? And then I was honest with him. I was like, dude, we're an amateur podcast that's up and coming. This would do nothing for you. This is clearly just for us, but I'm a big fan and it would be an honor to have you on. That being said, if you were to tell me no, I won't be offended. I get it. Like, we're not Ellen DeGeneres, you know? And he was actually kind enough to respond and was like, hey, Tony, you know, thanks for the kind words and this and that. And then he was like, right now, I'm actually limiting my podcast appearances to, I don't want to destroy his character because I know how this is going to come out. I like him. I respect his work, but he basically was like, I'm limiting podcast experiences or appearances to people that pay for them because I'm in a lot of debt from the book. And if you read the book, it'll explain a lot of why from over the years. And I was like, yeah, I figured that, you know, like, I mean, I kind of get that too, dude. When you reach like a certain status, some of those guys do get paid for that. So,
well, yeah, and he probably has so many requests. Dude. There's no way he could spend the time to do all of them. So you gotta, filter him out somehow.
Well, dude, I almost was like, I never emailed him back, but I started writing the email. So what I did was I typed up, you know, my response was Mr. O'Neill. And I was like, whatever the number is, I probably can't afford you. I'm a working class dude that's just trying to make this work. But I'm curious, like, what's the number? What would it have taken for me to have you on the show? Like, I was curious about it, but then I was like, I'm not even going to entertain it because it's probably like 5 G's or some crazy shit. So I just was like, never mind. But we almost had Tom O'Neill on here, dude. And we're actually about to, again, this is considered clickbait, but it's actually in the works right now. So this guy, Dustin McNeil, who wrote Taking Shape and a couple of other books I like that are about like the history of the Halloween franchise. And he wrote one about Rob Zombie's Firefly Family franchise. Great books. Highly recommend it. No, I'm not sponsored to talk about. I'm not being paid to talk about it. I really do genuinely love his books.
But we would.
Oh, dude, that would be fucking awesome. I was like, I would fully support him. But I did reach out to him and he was like, hey, I can't do it right now because I'm working on a new book. But come January, we'll figure something out. January came. We're in the scheduling process, so I'm excited for that. He may not be an A-lister, but he is certainly an A-lister in the author community. He's making a name for himself. Over the years, he's written so many good books, man. I have pretty much all of them. And I love his work because if you read McNeil's stuff, the way he writes these books, whether you're a fan of the content or not, he writes it in documentary format. Not like literally in documentary, but when you're reading it, you're like, dude, this could be a documentary. Like, this guy is so good with his narrative and everything, honestly. I mean, I highly recommend, if anyone hasn't, at the very least, read Taking Shape 1 and 2 by Dustin McNeil. Oh, can't forget Travis Mullins either, but highly recommend those. But yes, the reason I bring all that up is because I'm like, damn, dude, that's fucking awesome. Like, that's success right there. I mean, what's going to come of it, we'll never know. And that's his business, not mine. But that's fucking awesome. You know, I had to reach out and tell him, fucking awesome, dude. It is my goal in life to get Barack Obama on here at least once.
You guys are a bunch of racists.
I just want to hear what he has to say.
I'll never be on here again because you guys, frankly, you just don't do what you're supposed to. And you're a bunch of racist, bitter clingers, and all you care about is, frankly, your own thing. Thank you, Mr. President. See you never again.
I'd have to tell him, like, you know, honestly, Mr. Obama. I'd have to be like, you know, to be quite honest. And to be fair, you are on a show with a $500 budget. Maybe $1,000 altogether. Between, I don't know how much your laptop is. Mine was easily like $300. Very cheap. Cheap camera, about $100. Fucking Yeti or Blue Yeti mic, about like $90 or whatever. And not counting like the headphones and all the other stuff. But if you really look at it, we are on a shoestring budget. And I would like to have a shoestring president on the show. I'm just kidding. I'm sure people regard him as a legend. I don't. But love to have him on. I'd love to talk to someone that ran this country.
One guy I would really want on that'll never happen is William Barr, the former attorney general.
You know,
I'd be so freaking pumped.
You know, this is a fun game. Let's keep this going. Because now that I think about it, dude, there's tons of people that are like, they're on what I call a fantasy list. There are people that I would interview that probably is never going to happen. One of them is for sure not going to happen, not because I don't believe in myself, but because he's dead. But it would have been awesome to have Sonny Barger on our show. He was one of the most notorious Oakland chapter leaders of the Hells Angels. Or maybe it wasn't Oakland. I probably fucked that up. I don't even remember. Because I liked him, but I would have loved to have... And I don't want to shit on this guy because he actually has good work. Like, his books are great. I mean, he was a criminal, but... There was a guy after him that I had seen do a tell-all Hell's Angels like premiere thing for History Channel. A guy by the name of George Christie. And, you know, I watched the series years ago and I read all these books. One that he wrote, some other ones that were like about him and Sonny Barger and all that. And I just thought about it more and more. And I was like, man, I'd love to have one of those guys on. Preferably, I would prefer like... I would prefer George Christie just because, A, he's alive, and he's coherent, and I like his style of storytelling. He tells you the story from an outside perspective, very intelligent, and he's, like I said, he's kind of a master of his own craft, whereas Sonny Barger is more known for writing the books about his experiences in the Hells Angels and kind of applying some form of commitment to like media, because he's been in a few movies about like, you know, bikers and shit, and like he's always an extra, but he was always more like for himself, whereas George Christie is straight up like, no, I'll tell you all about all the shit that I did, all the shit that I saw, and all the shit that I regret or whatever. His storytelling is way more just off the charts, and he's someone I would have loved to have well, both of them really, but yeah, if I were to have a preference, I guess it would be George Christie over Sonny Barger. But Sonny is still like, ask anyone. More people know who Sonny Barger is versus George Christie. So there you go. That's another fantasy. That's another fantasy pick. But now it's Austin's turn. Fantasy pick. Who would you love to have on the show?
I think someone who'd be really fun is Kay Ivey. She's the governor of Alabama. She's like an 80-year-old woman, and she's hilarious. Her nickname is the Govna. The Govna.
The Govna.
And yeah, she's got she got Boeing to bring a bunch of missile production to Alabama. And some stupid liberal was like, how could you be proud that you're bringing these defense contractors to Alabama? How can you be proud that they're using these weapons on people all over the country? And she goes, I am proud that when the last thing that a terrorist will see when this missile's flying at them is made in Alabama.
Dude, hell yeah. I think another person I'd like to have on, and this is not... It's actually in the realm of possibility. I just don't think it'll ever happen because I talk so much shit about him. I would love to have actor Devin Sawa on, the guy that blocked me on Instagram.
Why did you just do it?
Yes. Just so I could do that. Like, why? Why the fuck did you block me? And he'll just look at me like, I have a publicist that does this shit. Like, I have a team that monitors my Instagram of 200,000 followers or whatever. I don't know how many followers he has, but I'm like, dude, I want to look him in the eye and be like, why? And then I want to know why the fuck he never returned for a Final Destination. I don't know. That's one, but I think, man, if we're talking like off the charts, someone that's clearly beyond our reach, I would like to have fucking either my favorite director of all time, John Carpenter, or like a Quentin Tarantino, or even like a Martin Scorsese on. That would be fucking awesome, because those guys are like my heroes in a weird sense. And I always preach you shouldn't look up to celebrities and that's like a bad thing, but some of them it's hard not to. And I don't think it's really that I look up to them. It's just, I love their movies. I love their work. I love how visionary they can be. Like Zack Snyder is a good example. I'm not a big like Zack Snyder fanboy, but I'm a Zack Snyder fan. I love his work. He's a visionary director when he's allowed to do what he wants to do. The problem is about 75, if not 80% of his career is an example of what happens when the director does not have control, because he releases these movies, they don't do well, and then he tries to say, told you so, to both the studio and fans, and then the fucking studio under pressure is like, let's release the Snyder Cut. And the Snyder Cut is always 9 times out of 10 better. And they haven't, like, no studios learned their lesson with Zack Snyder yet. If they just let him do what he wants to do, he can create something. And it's crazy too, dude, because that wasn't the case with Dawn of the Dead, which was like his first movie, if I'm not mistaken. That was his first like big movie. And he didn't really have a lot of control of that. That was, again, he was a young guy. That was kind of like Hollywood's baby. So the fact that he did well under pressure then versus all the other times is interesting. I will say that. That's where my criticisms come in for him. But Zack Snyder is a good example of a visionary director. And that's, again, I would love to have a visionary director on here. Preferably, like, yeah, like a John Carpenter or a Quentin Tarantino. Obviously, that'll never happen. I mean, it would be cool, but last I heard, those guys rarely do podcasts as it is. Like, I think it was Joe Rogan that was saying that he's had Tarantino on his podcast a handful of times, but he's really hard to, like, get him to commit to it or whatever. Whatever their reason may be, cool. Shit, let's talk musicians, man. What kind of musicians would you like to have on this show?
Oh, well, first of all, before we go into musicians, I want Tucker Carlson to come on this show so I can embarrass him.
He's just going to laugh at you with that fucking stupid...
He's a fucking socialist. He doesn't want
to... He's going to go... Then he's going to do this. Like, dude, I really don't like him, man. Like, I used to, but you know what he reminds me of? He is clearly a fucking mouthpiece for whoever's paying him to get that... I don't feel like he believes anything that he spews. I really don't, man. I think he's like, I do think that Candace Owens believes what she spews, but she does it because she knows she'll get attention. I think Tucker Carlson's the same way, but I just really don't think he cares, dude. I think he's all about money. And how could you not be when you're in his position? He is arguably a well-known news anchor and whatever he's done, you know, like, how could you not? But at the same time, like I said, I feel like he's a fake motherfucker. He honestly, and if you ask me, if he wasn't being paid by whoever, he'd probably be pretty good on CNN. As long as he was able to commit to the communist agenda that they have, he would be fucking great. Because you can't argue that he's a great speaker. Like, dude, he's smart, but again, he's also a fucking moron. Because like I said, dude, I really just think he's a spokesperson. I don't think that he believes any of the fucking things he says. Hold on, dude. You've said this numerous times. You think he's a socialist? Explain this shit. I'm so, like... Because okay. I've known socialists that think he's, like, the devil.
Okay, here's the problem. He is all about big government and big government intervention when the government's doing what he wants. So if Tucker Carlson was in charge, there'd be rules about what jobs you can and can't do. We would... get rid of big warehouses because they're not pretty. He doesn't like shit. He wants to make it mandated. We have shopping malls. He wants to have a progressive tax rate. He believes that the government doesn't tax the wealthy enough. He wants to make sure that communities are
are built by state and federal governments to make sure they look pretty and that we build fun new places. Certain speech should be illegal because he doesn't agree with it. Well, he's a giant, big government socialist who just thinks that gays are stupid and that transgenderism is bad and that Christianity is good. So he was on Fox News.
I wouldn't quite say that gays are stupid. I mean, maybe rude, but I'm just kidding. I was waiting to see where people were going to go with that. Like, how the fuck is he saying? Yeah, he's, I don't know, but, oh yeah, it's still your turn. Musician. What kind of musicians do you want on this show?
I think there's a guy named Tristan Merez who's kind of young and up and coming. He's like one of my favorite guys. That'd be awesome. I mean, if you get King George on anything, you get King George on anything.
Right.
But more, less dream, but maybe a lot less crazily out of the is Randall King. Just released a new album, and it's amazing. I've got like 9 of the songs on there favorite in my playlist I'm listening to right now, so that would be awesome. But
you know, before I actually bring up musician, there is one political opponent I want to bring up. It's actually not even a real person. It's probably just, I don't know who the fucking person is, really. I would like to have the current acting, like, leader, director, whatever, of the CIA on this show, just so I can ask him a bunch of questions that are just going to annoy the fuck out of him or her. I mean, if I were to pick someone, I'd want whoever was leading that bullshit in the 80s and 90s, just so I can ask them all about, like, Project Bluebird and shit. I'm sure they know all about it. But anyway, watch. They're going to comment, take this shit down. Like, CIA. So, fucking musician-wise, I think I would like to have Taylor Swift on, mostly so I can put a pillowcase over her head, punch her in the face, and then just wrap the pillowcase around her neck and let her bleed in there. Just kidding. No, I wouldn't do that. Musician-wise, like, if I'm being serious, I think I know, it's all, hey, she's all ready, and I'm just like, whack! Bam! And you're like, what are you doing? Like, no witnesses. But, now, musician-wise, I would love to have, like, a Mick Jagger or, like, a... I don't know, Mick Jagger's pretty old. I don't know. I want someone that's a little more coherent. Not saying that he's not coherent. He's doing like karate chops and shit on stage, but I want someone that's like fully there, like mentally and physically. So maybe like I guess it would be cool to get like a Billy Ray Cyrus on here just to hear his perspective on country. Being that he wasn't the best of his own version.
Hey, tell me how you completely disrespect and degrade the entire institution of country music. Billy Ray Cyrus.
It's when he gets up and starts singing Achy Breaky Heart.
Excuse me. Please explain to me how your daughter, who's a pop star, has more reverence for country music than you do.
You and a whore. I mean, honestly, clearly the answer for me is like Blink 182 or something like that. But if I'm looking at like classics, I would really... Again, this is a fantasy list because this person's also dead. But, dude, it would be so fucking cool to have Elvis Presley on the show. Picture the ghost of Elvis on the show, dude. That would be fucking... Every time I ask him a question, he's like, listen here, man. And he just starts fucking doing that.
I'd doing be okay thing. With that. Like,
damn, I'd go, singing?
Keep it up, brother.
Well, could you imagine if his ghost was on drugs? Like, all fucked up and rude? Like, we interrupt him. He's like, don't! Interrupt the king. You spoke when spoken to, bitch. I'm like,
you know what? You're right, sir. You keep going.
Dude, he's like a skeleton. But I think it'd be cool to have like a, yeah, like even, are there any Beatles alive? I think they're all dead now. I don't know. Is Paul McCartney? Okay, so maybe Paul McCartney. I mean, he's pretty old too. God damn it.
I don't want that fucking communist on this show.
Well, I only want him just so I can ask him, like, how he feels. Because those old-school hippies, dude, you tell me not, they're probably turning in their grave when they see what's happened to their message.
No, when that motherfucker gets on here, I go, you know that the Beatles actually kind of suck. He'd be like, what? Oh. I'm like, they don't suck. They're just overrated. What? Yeah, you guys aren't as good as everybody says you are. Leave. Get, hang it. Mr. McCartney, you see that red button with the telephone? On the no. On the bottom of the screen.
He's like,
press that button, Mr. McCartney. Yeah, thank you.
He's looking.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Dude, he's probably like looking like, oh, fucking Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Like, no, go away. No.
He wouldn't even hang up. He just turned his phone off, stick in his pocket. We hear him shuffle around his house. I think I'd like me a couple biscuits. Mr. McCartney, you're still on there.
Typically, I'd fly off the handle because you just insulted the Beatles, but I'll give you this. They are overrated. They're as good as people say they are.
They are the most overrated band in the history of music.
I don't know about that. But here's the thing.
They got three songs they play over and over again with different lyrics and a different drum line.
Are you high? They have like 100.
Yeah.
And the 100 that sound the same.
About 33 of those are one song with a different drum
line. Right.
33 is a different song with a different drum line. And the last one is a different song with a different line.
This one has a banjo in it. But fucking, I was always more of like a John Lennon fan. To be honest, he's better than the Beatles.
I'm happy he got murdered.
Oh, that's fucked up. I mean, if I'm going to be honest, if there's a celebrity that I'm happy got murdered, probably OJ's wife. Just because, think about it, dude. If we didn't have her die, we wouldn't have any reason to hate OJ because he's a legend.
Wait. There's a lot of reasons to hate OJ that is not him murdering his wife.
I don't know, man. To me personally, that's like that was the pinnacle of hating him. I think that's like the start. If you want my like clear reason for hating him, sadly, it wasn't murder. It was the simple fact, dude, that he was like hanging around with the Kardashians and shit. And there's like that rumor that he might be one of their dads or whatever. And I was like, I guarantee you, dude, like he sounds like that kind of guy. Even before all that murder trial shit, dude, it was kind of known in that inner circle that OJ was kind of a piece of shit. So I think that was kind of
what he's always beat the shit out of women. He's always been known to be
yes.
a serial woman abuser.
However, Cuba Gooding did justice by portraying him correctly. Now, I just like Cuba Gooding's portrayal of him. I thought that was a good show.
If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Actually, that would be an interesting person to have on the podcast, fucking OJ Simpson, if he wouldn't have died. Like, I could have asked him, like, so come on, man, for real, like, where's the glove? Like, I wouldn't even ask him if he did it, but where's the glove?
We know. We don't need a where's the glove. We know that the glove was there had one glove for the left hand at the crime scene covered in his own blood and Nicole's blood. They went to his house. The right glove of the exact same pair covered in his blood and Nicole's blood at his house.
But like, if you look closely, you will see that the blade is covered in his blood. I mean, the glove with his pubes as well. No, dude, I'm sorry, but that whole thing was a sham. Him getting off was purely because of Johnny Cochran, the biggest racist in history. One of. Otherwise, dude, it wouldn't have went that way. It really wouldn't have. I mean, I think that in the beginning, there were signs of people like, no, you guys are just trying to destroy a man's legacy, which is where I'm typically at with celebrities. I'm like, you guys are just trying to fuck this guy over. But as time has gone on, we've pretty much figured it out. We're like, no, dude, he's fucking shady. He's a piece of shit. Dude, most of them are. That's the thing. Like, I'm not saying that all celebrities are shitty, but it's kind of hard to argue it at the same time. I mean, how many can you name off the top of your fucking head that, like, are decent people? That you know of, you know what I mean? I'm like, dude, I probably can name like, and this is just because it's the two people I'm thinking of currently, John Cena and Keanu Reeves. Like, they're the only two people I can think of that are even relatively close to normal.
No. Fuck John Cena. He supports the commies. He fucking...
That was Hollywood, bro.
He's in bed with the... He's in bed with the communist Chinese.
Well, he's a sellout, for sure. No, he's for sure a sellout. Like, remember, we did an episode on that where he apologized in their language or whatever. And all I could think was, like, yeah, dude, he's... Basically, Hollywood was like, hey, you need to apologize if you want to get more paychecks, you know? And, like, he basically sold out, which was... Yeah, kind of cowardly, if you ask me. I'd have been like, fuck no, dude. Like, are you kidding? All I said was thanks to the great people. Like, fuck that. But someone who was probably getting a hefty check was like, well, I don't want to spoil these millions. I mean, at the end of the day, dude, and I don't know who said this. There was a famous rock musician that said at the end of the day, most artists sell out, if not all, because they kind of see the bigger picture. And that's why you have so many people that are like, oh yeah, these fucking punk rock bands are so punk. Why are they charging us $300 a ticket? And that's where it's like, well, cause they sold out, dude. Like, they fucking, they know. They're not dumb. They know what the fucking, they know what those venues charge. They're not stupid. They pick it for a reason, but I digress. Yeah. I'd like to have like the Beatles on, or Blink-182 would be pretty cool, but I think that it would be fucking sick if we had like Lynyrd Skynyrd or even the Eagles. That would be kind of cool. You know why I would want the Eagles on though, dude? Because I'd want them to kind of like pick apart Hotel California like an onion and kind of just explain it a little bit better in their own terms, because everyone has their own version of what it really means. I've kind of chalked it down to the same like sheep mentality theory, which was, it's a song about going to hell. The hotel is in hell.
I want them on because, ready? Everybody grab your seats. Get ready. It's going to be controversial. They are the probably best rock opinion. Band ever.
No, not even close. They're great, but no. I don't even know who you would call them. That's the thing, dude. Like, I'm so stuck because it's a hard question with an answer that's almost like, how do you fucking, like... Okay, everybody has their opinion on who the best band is. So if someone were to come up to you and say, hey, in your opinion, right off the bat, without even thinking about it, who is the greatest rock band of all time?
The Eagles.
Typically, I never really have an answer. I almost always say Rolling Stones, just because I'm going off of their biography and how much they've done. But even then, man, I'm a Stones fan, but I'm not a diehard Stones fan. I'm just going off of their biography.
When you talk about the greatest rock band ever, you can't talk about the other shit like papers and cultural reference and magazines and bullshit. You got music.
Well, yeah, purely music. Like, you can look at their albums, man. They all sound the same.
It's the Eagles. It's Queen.
Queen's pretty good, yeah.
I guess you could put the Beatles up there. You should.
Kind of have to. You kind of have to, unfortunately. Counterculture.
AC/DC.
100%. I love fucking AC/DC. Oh my God. Anyway.
Yeah, those are the acceptable answers.
AC/DC is a weird one because they're like so stubborn, dude. They just won't admit that they're a fucking rock and roll band. They're like, no, we just like to play music. And they're like, dude, you're rock and roll. Stop acting like you're folksy and shit, dude. Like, you are rock and roll. But I love them, man, just because if there's any band I want to listen to from those times, whether it's Motley Crue, Poison, Def Leppard, fucking you name it, dude, Iron Maiden, Metallica, whatever, I almost always immediately go to AC/DC, which I get is kind of like the mainstream band, but I'm like, dude, fuck you guys. Like, AC/DC is the fucking shit, dude. They're still going, which is scary. I'm not gonna lie, dude. I'm a little concerned about that, but they're still fucking going, man. And I even like their new stuff, which you don't hear that from a lot of people, because these fucking bands I just named off, dude, they're still making music, most of them anyway. And it's terrible, but AC/DC's is pretty good because Yeah, it's more in tune with what they used to do. They're not trying to sell out to any newer crowds. They're just doing what they've been doing. But they do it better each time for what it's worth. Because is their newer stuff better than their old stuff? No, dude. I honestly believe that AC/DC stopped being, like, amazing towards the 2000s. Like, the early 90s is kind of where I would put that fucking line. Anything after that is kind of like, it's okay.
Oh, we missed one. Guns N' Roses.
I was about to get to them. I was going to say, I love Guns N' Roses too, though. That's my fucking vice, man. Like, they're another band that people give me shit about. Like, oh, you like that mainstream shit. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? They're all mainstream, dude. Motley Crue, all of them. They're all the fucking same. They're just different lyrically, sort of. I mean, to be honest, dude, look at each decade and each fucking artist they had in it. Everyone pretty much sound the same. Okay, I love Blink 182, but they sound just like every other punk band.
Did you pull up Forbes? Yeah, okay. Forbes is top 30 greatest rock bands of all time.
We'll go over just the top 10. Yeah, I do the top 10. Fuck the rest. Sorry, no disrespect.
Number 10 is AC/DC, so. Yep, checks out.
There should be like four.
Number 9 is Metallica. No, thank you.
Yes, they're old shit. I hate everything after the 90s. Anyway.
Number 8, horribly underrated, the Eagles.
Respect.
What? Number 7, Van Halen. You're telling me you'd rather listen to anything Van Halen's ever did than the Eagles? You're lying to yourself.
No, I would, actually. If it's old Van Halen, like real Van Halen, yes. But that's not the same guy.
The Rolling Stones, number 6. I think the biggest problem is when people look at the Rolling Stones, they think about like stuff that was done outside of the Rolling Stones and their music, like magazine, like all the shit Mick Jagger did after. I mean, people take all that into consideration into the Rolling Stones. I think they're a fine band, but like,
no.
They're number amazing. 5 is the Jimi Hendrix Experience. Yeah, you take that, shove that up your ass.
I like Jimi Hendrix, but not that much.
Pink Floyd at number 4.
Yes! Yes! Never been so excited. Sorry. I love Pink Floyd. Anyway.
Number 3 is Queen.
That should be like 1 or 2, but I'll take it, whatever.
Number 2 is the Beatles.
Yes.
And number 1 is Led Zeppelin.
I don't know if I agree with that. I like Led Zeppelin. I like their musical style, and like, here's the thing, I will say this. Led Zeppelin is better than anybody in the world on instruments, but I really wouldn't call them the greatest rock band of all time. That's kind of,
so remember,
I don't know, man. That's
remember our list: the Beatles, the Eagles, AC/DC, and Pink Floyd, and Queen. Those are our 5.
Right.
Here are the top 5 top-selling rock bands ever. Number 5 is Pink Floyd. Number 4 is AC/DC. Number 3 is Led Zeppelin. Number 2 is the Eagles. Number 3 is the Beatles.
I'm pretty sure that, Justin Bieber might have actually knocked this record off, but if I'm not mistaken, AC/DC had the highest selling album of all time, which was Back in Black. I think that I'm pretty sure Justin Bieber topped that, or no, it was Taylor Swift.
It's going to get broken tomorrow because, Taylor's new album comes out tomorrow.
Of course.
So the number 1 selling album of all time is Thriller by Michael Jackson.
Okay. Which kind of makes sense. That's a cultural fucking phenomenon. It's sold
51.2 million 51.2 million certified copies. With a reported 100 million sales.
I was going to say, dude, you should Google the top like 5 or 10 highest selling albums of all time. I'm just curious now, like, what the fuck is that?
Number 2 is AC/DC's Back in Black.
I was going to say they were
50 million reported sales.
Well, that was a good album, man. That's my favorite album.
I don't care about reported sales. I want to see actual total certified copies. Oh, right, here we go. Number one is still Thriller. Number two is the Eagles' Greatest Hits album. Number three is the Eagles' Hotel California. So the Eagles have two of the top three albums of all time.
Yeah, and Dwayne Johnson once won an award for Best Actor of the Year.
Number four is Shania Twain's Come On Over. That's her 97th album. That's a fucking incredible album. It was on our, when we were making lists, it was on my list of.
I was going to say, that was my mom's favorite album when I was a kid.
Wow. Number five is Fleetwood Mac's Rumors.
Yes.
That's the one with Landslide on there, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, bro, I love Fleetwood Mac. Wait. I might have that wrong, actually. I don't think it is.
That might not be right. Is it the one with Rumors on it?
Let me check.
Dreams. Go Your Own Way. Don't Stop. Never Back Again. The Chain.
This is how I don't think it is.
Yeah, this one with Dreams on it, not the one with...
Right. Landslide I love, though. I mean, I honestly think, dude, that's arguably their greatest song. But that's just because of the quality behind it.
Is this a controversial opinion that the Dixie Chicks did it better?
Which one? Landslide?
Landslide.
I mean,
I don't know how controversial that is.
Well, I heard Dixie Chicks version first. So I associate Landslide with them more than I do Fleetwood Mac. But I still like Fleetwood Mac. I think they're amazing. It's just, I guess I kind of agree with you just because, dude, that's the one I heard first. And so it just resonates with me more. So I automatically just kind of jump to the Dixie Chicks or the Dixies.
No, they're the Chicks that got rid of Dixie.
So fucking stupid, dude.
So when you filter by actually certified copies, not just whatever some random fucker from Walmart said, that AC/DC's Back in the Black falls from second to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way down to sixth place.
Yeah, that's still good for me. Because I love that album.
That's fucking the Bodyguard album is number seven.
That's a good movie. That's a good movie, dude. I don't care what anyone says about Whitney Houston, bro. This, Kevin Costner's the shit.
This album is this high up for one song and one song only.
And God damn it. Fuck that up. We'll always love you. Dude, so here's the thing. I can't take that song serious anymore because there was this movie that came out when I was a kid. I don't know what year it is. It's Adam Sandler and Damon Wayans. It's called Bulletproof. It's a action comedy or whatever. But anyway, there's a scene where Adam Sandler is in a fucking shower and he's singing that song. He's like, and I... Like, he gets out of control, dude. And then he's like... And David Waits is like, you shut the fuck up. So, dude, every time I think of that song, I think of that stupid fucking movie.
So then number eight is Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, which that has to be the most iconic album art.
I like ever. It, but I already know the hate I'm going to get. I like The Wall. I like The Wall more than... But anyway.
No, but is Dark Side of the Moon the most iconic album art ever?
No, I think it is. Especially, you got to remember, too, look at the year it came out, dude. Like, that's... Yeah, they were ahead of their time, dude.
Right. That's the one with that album. That's one with, like, the prism and the light and the rainbow. Yeah. It's either one or it's Abbey Road by the Beatles. It's one of those two.
Well... The Pink Floyd album, that one. So the reason I think it's so iconic is because if you look at that design, doesn't that look like something that was at least done in the 80s or 90s? But it's not. It's that old, and you're like, damn, they were on something, dude. Like, and it's a good album. I just don't like it as much as The Wall. But if you look at that artwork for the time that it came out, you're like, yeah, that's different. Because most of the artwork from those times, especially the 70s, dude, I mean, look at bands like Boston and fucking Blue Oyster Cult. Theirs were pretty significant looking, but they very much look generic for the 70s. Pink Floyd's is just revolutionary. It looks way different, even to this day.
So, fuck, number nine is Saturday Night. What? Saturday Night Fever by the Bee Gees.
Saturday Night Fever. Which one is that? Is that
John Travolta?
Is that S? Hold on. Saturday Night Fever. How's that go? Isn't it like S-A-T-U-R? Or maybe I got a, maybe I have a different song in my head, but it sounds like S-A-T-U-R, T-U-R, dang.
No, no, it, that's the album with the Staying Alive for the...
Oh, yeah. Staying Alive. God damn it, yeah. That's a dumb song, dude. Like,
so
I get
there
why
are
like
two, it, so there are two, there are two soundtracks for movies on this list.
Okay, what's the other one?
Number 10, The Bodyguard. So Bodyguard and Saturday Night Fever.
Like I said, I like The Bodyguard. It's a decent flick. I love Kevin Costner. I don't give a shit about Whitney Houston, but it is a good song. It just sucks that that's on the list, dude. I'm sorry. Like, that sucks. I would have been more accepting of that bullshit-ass Titanic shit. That would have made sense. But The Fucking Bodyguard, dude, really? Like, come on. Whatever, so, dude. 90s.
Number 10 is by Meatloaf.
Meatloaf?
Bad Out of Hell, 1977.
Okay.
Sold 22 million copies.
My dad had that album, bro. I remember the fucking CD and the tape deck. Dude, he had a tape deck of this shit. Then he had the CD like years later. But, dude, I remember seeing it. And I was like, the fuck is Meatloaf? Even at night, I didn't understand it, dude.
Yeah. And then they're number 11 is Michael Jackson. It's Bad.
So here's the thing, bro.
There are only 11 albums that sold more than 40 million copies. And that's two of them are owned by Michael Jackson, two by the Eagles.
That's all right. Like I said, that's cool.
And zero by the Beatles.
It's the counterculture, man. They represented a message, as in fuck the American way. And everybody blindly accepts that.
Like, here's what they do. The highest selling Beatles album was number one.
Abbey Road, huh?
No, it's one.
Okay.
It's their fucking...
Yeah, I know what it is. I just don't care for it as much.
And it's like sold, I said, 31 dude. Million, and it sold 31. This is my thing. This is why the Beatles are overrated. Their highest selling album is 31. Has 31 million album sales. Claimed album sales.
Are you sure it's not because they're communists? I was going to say, you can be honest about that, dude. Their lyrics are full on fuck America. Like, bro, fucking imagine. Imagine there's no heaven. Like, it's a good song, but that should tell you all you need to know about the Beatles. They're fucking anti-American.
They have the 18th highest selling album, and it was released after they broke up, after most of them are dead, and it's a giant tribute album.
See, I hate fucking greatest hits and tribute albums, dude, because they shouldn't count.
The next closest one is 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club.
I only like one song on that album, dude. I'm sorry. And it's Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. That's it. I don't care for that album.
And it is tied with Abbey Road at 32 and 33.
All right.
So, at the end of the day, we, in conclusion, the Beatles are extremely overrated. They sold a bunch of bullet... They rigged a bunch of systems to sell concert tickets and records to make so they could boost their artificially boost their all-time sales record. They make the same three songs over and over again and call them different. And
100.
Yeah. 33 this kind, 33 this kind, 33 this kind.
I'm going to put you in a position that I get put in all the time, and it's fucking annoying. But now you get to feel my pain. Who talks about who more, though? Do you hear more people talk about the Eagles or the Beatles? And why is that?
It because sucks, right? Because they're a bunch of British faggots that are
mainstream, dude.
Hey, here's the problem here. Okay, we're gonna do a little study here, okay? I'm gonna show you the reason why, okay? And the answer is teeny bopper girls. Okay?
What the fuck?
The answer is teeny bopper girls.
Oh boy, I don't know if I'm gonna like this. Let's see.
This is why. This right here is why. Okay? People looked at these motherfuckers and turned them into sex symbols.
Let's see what we got going on.
These guys, right here. They turn these guys into sex symbols.
Correct.
The thing is, you know who you can't turn into sex symbols?
Those white trash, rugged-looking dudes. I'm just kidding. No, but now you see where I'm coming
the
from.
Real, it's a fucking... The a real man. You can't turn real men like the Eagles into these
I will say
glorified,
this. They all look like pedophiles.
Sex symbols.
I love the Eagles, but they do look like pedophiles in that picture. Actually, that's how a man would look back in those days. If you really think about it, that's how a man looked.
You can't sell this as sex like they did the Beatles. The reason why a bunch of loser girls got sold by American media because, oh my God, the Beatles are foreign and they're different and they're cool.
Well, yeah,
and they
UK.
Speak with British accents and
British
and
invasion.
New. And they're right. New. And they're new. I remember this when rock and roll was a bunch of big, burly white guys trying to pretend to be Elvis for their entire career. And then the Beatles came. Like, oh, look, you can do it a little different. So they exploded. Everybody, oh my God, look how different and cool this is. But the problem is, it's a bunch of old people now who are like, oh, do you remember, man, when life was cool, man? And like, things could be different and accepted. And they go back to the Beatles and they hold these Beatles in super high regard. But when we talk about the Eagles, those people were in their 20s and 30s when the Eagles were ripping music out. And they were like, oh, this is awesome. This is good. But then have an entire media storm shoving their dicks down people's throats because they weren't different or cool.
Well, and you just said in their 20s and 30s, that's when they were hearing this shit. You got to remember, that's the worst time to listen to music for most people. Most people do not like listening to newer music in their 20s and 30s because at that point, you've already reached the point of everything new sucks. So that makes sense. And I honestly jot it down to that the Beatles, I think the reason they were so... I think they're great musicians and I do love them. I just don't like them as much as a lot of other bands. But I think the reason they were so revolutionary is exactly that. They were revolutionary. Their message was always anti-American propaganda. They resonated with counterculture. That is why they're so big. Because if you were really to jot down to it, music-wise, yes, they're talented, but no, not as good as other names in the business. So, I mean, I really think that they were just popular because they were mouthpieces for how teenagers felt at that time. Or, you know, fucking Summer of Love and all that bullshit. But I think that's why they're so damn popular. I think that's why they're held in high regard. And a lot of the interviews they did were like shocking to the nation at the time. But dude, to this day, we have fat bitches named Lizzo playing flutes and shit that were only played by one president at a time. So, I mean, unfortunately, Lizzo's going to be like the next big figure in the future, which fucking sucks. But that just goes to show how far we've fallen off fucking in society.
It is just... And then,
yeah, the Beatles were just newspaper fucking articles, dude.
Yeah.
And that's why they're so damn popular.
The biggest thing that makes me upset, right, is that the Beatles are the most overrated musical act ever. The Eagles might be the most underrated. I disagree. Because there are morons out there who will look you straight in the face and say Lynyrd Skynyrd was better than the Eagles.
Because they are.
No, they're not. They're not. No.
Lyrically, they are.
Absolutely not.
And Lynyrd Skynyrd did it better.
You're telling me right now, you're about to go to a deserted island, you get one group's discography. You're taking Lynyrd Skynyrd. So you can listen to three songs over and over again.
Bro, I love their music. I'll listen to them any day. My only complaint about Lynyrd Skynyrd is that their songs are long as shit. I think we can all agree, because there's like songs they have that are like 12 minutes long, dude, and it's like, for what reason? But yes, I would pick them over the Eagles. I love the Eagles, just not as much. Austin's like, this is my example of a fat beard just running his mouth.
The highest selling Lynyrd Skynyrd album sold. Oh my god, I thought it was a Christmas album. I almost fucking shit my pants.
I would have been mad, dude, because I hate Christmas albums. Like, why? That's when a band is old, when they start doing Christmas albums. Weezer's been doing it.
It's their debut album with Free Bird, Tuesday's Gone, and Simple Man.
I like Tuesday's Gone. Simple Man's okay, but...
Wait. There's the three songs you're going to listen to over and over again.
Bro, I listen to all their albums. I got them all on my phone.
Every single Eagles album has sold more than the highest selling Lynyrd Skynyrd album.
I can understand that, but I also don't live my life on where everyone else is going. That's why it's different. But I understand what you're saying, because it goes back to what I said about Rolling Stone with the whole biography thing. That is why I consider them one of the greats. But if we were to take that away, and they're like musically, no, not so much. Like, you have a point there, but that's my point too. That's why I'm like, dude, I do like the Eagles. I don't see it like other people do. Or same thing with, I get a lot of hate for this too. I do like Green Day. I just don't think they're pioneers. People call them pioneers of punk music. I'm like, no, they're not. But again, dude, it's all based on numbers. So I'm like, I don't find them to be fucking pioneers. And a lot of people get mad at me for that. I'm like, no, dude, they're not pioneers of punk.
Hell, and I'll tell you right now, I'd rather listen to the Allman Brothers
discography. Allman Brothers are good.
Over Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Austin's out of his mind. Allman like Brothers are good, though.
I like Lynyrd Skynyrd. I like Lynyrd Skynyrd a lot. They're good. But anybody who's telling you they'd rather listen to the Lynyrd Skynyrd discography over the Eagles is lying to you. Or they live in a trailer park, drink Bud Light, and are hiding something from their father.
Which is currently me, because everyone thinks I'm trailer. But we have hit the end of the road, unfortunately. If you guys like what you heard here and you want to check out more, please go to Instagram. That's at The Great Girth Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, again, at The Great Girth Podcast. Fuck, man, we're on Twitter. We're everywhere. We're even on Anchor, which is going away. We're on Threads. Still not on Twitter, but we're getting there, or X, whatever. Anyway, I am Tony, one half of your favorite fat duo, with my other homie, Austin. Austin, buddy, it was fun, but I'm going to see you on the next one when I tell you the Eagles suck. Just kidding. I like the Eagles. I just like fucking
I'll wrestle you.
All right, man. I'll see you on the next one.
Adios.